and appointed an expert parliamentary committee to investigate the scandal. Indian government investigators found that Gates-funded researchers at PATH committed pervasive ethical violations, pressuring vulnerable village girls into the trial, bullying illiterate parents, and forging consent forms. Gates provided health insurance for his PATH staff, but not to any participants in the trials, and refused medical care to the hundreds of injured girls. The PATH researchers targeted girls at ashram pathshalas, boarding schools for tribal children, to dodge the need to seek parental consent for the shots. They gave the girls HPV immunization cards that were printed in English, which the girls couldn't read. They did not tell the girls that they were part of a clinical trial, and instead hoodwinked them with the lie that these were wellness shots that would guarantee lifelong protection against cancer. That was not true. PATH conducted the trials in impoverished rural areas that lacked mechanisms for tracking the adverse effects and had no system for recording major adverse reactions to the vaccines, something legally mandated for large-scale clinical trials. In 2010, the Indian Council of Medical Ethics found that the Gates Group had violated India's ethical protocols. In August 2013, a special parliamentary committee excoriated PATH, stating that the NGO's sole aim has been to promote the commercial interests of HPV vaccine manufacturers who would have reaped windfall profits had PATH been successful in getting the HPV vaccine included in the UIP, Universal Immunization Program, of the country. According to Dr. Colin Gonsalves, senior counsel of the Supreme Court of India, the Indian Parliament formed a committee, and it was to be a rather surprising move because you generally don't often have such a high-level inquiry into matters affecting poor people, and that was such an extraordinary report. I don't think the Indian Parliament has ever come out with such a scathing report. And the government officials came out and said, "We shouldn't have authorized this, we're sorry, and we're not going to allow them again," and now they are back, doing their same old tricks again. In 2013, two separate groups of health activists and human rights advocates filed public interest litigation, PIL, petitions calling on India's Supreme Court to investigate the HPV trials and determine whether PATH and other stakeholders responsible for the trial should be held liable for financial damages in relation to the families of the seven deceased girls. One of the lead petitioners, Amar Jasani, a physician who directs the Center for Studies in Ethics and Rights in Mumbai, told Professor Magoi that he regrets that he did not add the Gates Foundation as a defendant. The ethical guidelines of the Indian Council for Medical Research talks about totality of responsibility. It defines the totality of responsibility in terms of everybody. That means sponsor involved, Jasani said. Under that principle, everyone should be held responsible. There is also no evidence at the moment that the Gates Foundation took any steps to discipline PATH for the research it carried out in India. I think to some extent the Gates Foundation thinks PATH has done nothing wrong, and that is a concern. One needs to get a spotlight on the Gates Foundation. The case is now before the country's Supreme Court. CDC cited Merck's and Gates's cheery assessments of the grotesque Indian experiments to help justify its expanded recommendation for the Gardasil vaccine. Prior to COVID-19, Gardasil was the most dangerous vaccine ever licensed, accounting for some 22% of cumulative injuries from all adverse events reported to the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS. During clinical trials, Merck was unable to show that Gardasil was effective against cervical cancers. Instead, the studies showed the vaccine actually increases cervical cancer by 46.3% in women exposed to HPV prior to vaccination. perhaps one-third of all women. According to Merck's clinical trial reports, the vaccine was associated with autoimmune diseases in 1 out of every 39 women. Since introduction of that vaccine in 2006, thousands of girls have reported debilitating autoimmune diseases, and cancer rates have skyrocketed in young women. HPV vaccines and fertility. Gates's strong patronage of HPV vaccines, Gardasil and Cervarix, deepened suspicions that he was weaponizing vaccination against human fertility. Merck's clinical trials showed strong signals for reproductive harm from Gardasil. People in the study suffered reproductive problems, including premature ovarian failure at 10 times background rates. Female fertility has dropped precipitously beginning in 2006 in the United States, coterminous with Gardasil uptake. Historical drops in fecundity have occurred in every nation with high Gardasil uptake. Hepatitis B. The conspiracy by Gavi, WHO, and UNICEF to force India to mandate hepatitis B vaccines is yet another illustration of how, under Bill Gates's hegemony, vaccine industry profits trump public health. The WHO initially recommended hepatitis B vaccination only in countries with high incidence of hepatocellular carcinoma, HCC, the species of liver cancer that the vaccine promises to abolish. Since HCC is rare in India, the country did not qualify under WHO's initial criteria, which recommended the vaccine only in nations with significant HCC. WHO's policy meant the vaccine manufacturers would lose a market of 1.3 billion people. Notwithstanding such concerns about the high costs and meager benefits of the vaccine, Gates, through his surrogates at Gavi, PATH, and WHO, successfully arm-twisted the Indian government in 2007 and 2008 into introducing the hepatitis B vaccines. Gavi pushed WHO to change the official policy to a universal recommendation, meaning that even countries with low disease burdens would be required to vaccinate. Gavi hoped this would reopen the Indian markets. WHO obligingly changed its recommendation to include universal immunization with hepatitis B vaccine for all countries, even those where HCC was not a problem. The Indian government obediently adopted WHO's recommendation. Indian academics and public health officials condemned the government's hepatitis B mandates, citing India's extremely low burden from HCC. The Indian Cancer Registry, ICMR, shows the incidence of hepatocellular carcinoma due to hepatitis B infection is only 5,000 cases a year. Independent scientists and Indian physicians argued against immunizing 25 million babies each year to theoretically prevent 5,000 cases of HCC. Anti-cancer vaccines are poor performers, and there is not even meager proof that the vaccine can prevent any cancers. Dr. Jacob M. Puliel, MD, chair of the Department of Pediatrics, St. Stephen's Hospital, Delhi, told me that even if the vaccine were 100% effective, the need to administer 15,000 vaccines to infants to prevent a single death from HCC that might occur decades later intuitively seems an uneconomic way to spend scarce health resources. In a July 17, 1999 commentary published in BMJ, Dr. Puliel observed that the cheapest Indian hepatitis B vaccine costs 360 rupees or $5 for 3 doses. Dr. Puliel points out that a third of India's population earns less than 57 rupees per capita per month. The main causes of death in India are diarrhea, respiratory infections, and malnutrition, Puliel says. Should immunization against hepatitis B take priority over provision of clean drinking water? The study of Gates's forced introduction of hepatitis B vaccines in India showed that the vaccine did not reduce hepatitis B. The frequency of chronic carriers, HBsAg positivity, was similar in the unvaccinated as in the vaccinated. The study further suggested that maternal immunity was protecting newborn babies from infection at the time when they are most vulnerable to develop chronic carrier status and HCC, and that the vaccine program reduces this natural immunity. Paradoxically, therefore, there is a substantial likelihood that Gates's vaccine is increasing the incidence of HCC in the country. These findings demonstrated the absurd futility of hepatitis B vaccination in India. No matter, says Puliel, Gates's opinion was the only thing that counted. WHO stood firm, taking the position that all countries must include hepatitis B vaccine in their immunization program, even if the vaccine was unnecessary. Haemophilus influenzae B, HIB. WHO followed its hepatitis B debacle with a much weaker recommendation for vaccination against Haemophilus influenzae type B, HIB. WHO recommended HIB vaccines only in nations suffering a grave disease burden. In an editorial in the bulletin of the WHO, Indian doctors questioned the need for HIB vaccine in Asia, where the incidence of invasive HIB disease was extremely low, Lau 1999. In 2002, Dr. Thomas Chirian, who is now the WHO coordinator of EPI, wrote that based on the available data, HIB vaccine should not be recommended for routine use in India. To overcome such meddling from India's prying medical community, in 2005, Gates funded through Gavi a 4-year, $37 million study of mass vaccination with HIB jabs in Bangladesh, intending to showcase the vaccine's benefits. Gavi's Bangladesh study backfired, showing no advantage from HIB vaccination. In response, a formidable coterie of superstar international health experts, all of them coincidentally from Gates-funded organizations WHO, Gavi, UNICEF, USAID, Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and CDC, issued a deceitful proclamation that fraudulently claimed that the Bangladesh study proved a HIB jab protects children from significant burden of life-threatening pneumonia and meningitis. Prominent Indian doctors responded with outraged commentaries in the British Medical Journal and the Indian Journal of Medical Research, describing the Gates-funded study as a devious artifice. Based on Gates's orchestrated guile, WHO in 2006 took the official position that the HIB vaccine should be included in all routine immunization programs. Once again, the Indian government caved in to Gates and mandated HIB vaccines in India, where HIB invasive disease was nearly non-existent. In self-congratulatory articles, Gavi boasted triumphantly of its role in rescuing the HIB vaccine project in India after the Bangladesh study proved the vaccine a worthless waste of money, Gavi 2007, Levine et al. 2010. Gavi's article notes that since there was little burden from HIB disease in India, it had been a great challenge to gin up support for WHO's recommendation. Gavi bragged, in technocratic argot, that it twisted WHO's arm to revise WHO's HIB vaccine policy from a weak permissive statement to a firm recommendation calling for universal vaccine introduction in all countries. WHO's Volt Foss dragooned reticent Indian health officials to recommend the useless vaccine. Dr. Pouliel complains that incident highlights the influence Gavi and other vaccine manufacturer-funded organizations like the HIB initiative have on the WHO and how it impacts vaccine uptake internationally. Pouliel protests that the Gates Foundation has privatized and monetized international public health policy, transforming WHO recommendations into effective mandates and compelling poor countries to pay annual tribute to foreign pharma overlords. Pouliel told me that India and other Asian nations are now effectively compelled to administer the vaccine and to increase HIB uptake targets, irrespective of an individual country's disease burden, notwithstanding of natural immunity attained within the country against the disease, and not taking into account the rights of sovereign states to decide how they use their limited resources. He adds that the mandate and wisdom of issuing such a directive for a disease that has little potential of becoming a pandemic needs to be questioned. Dr. Pouliel's commentary in the BMJ denounced Gates and Gavi for pushing HIB vaccine in developing countries and for falsifying the characterization of the research data in their press release. The directive has come after a number of failed attempts to convince the scientific community of the need for this vaccine in Asia. Pouliel described the HIB saga as a case study on the visible and invisible pressures brought to bear on governments to deploy expensive new vaccines. Pentavalent vaccine. Despite Gates's victory in winning recommendations for HIB and hepatitis B in Asia, actual uptake rates disappointed the pharma mikados. Defying the WHO and Indian Health Ministry recommendations, local physicians stonewalled the jab. Most Indians had never heard of either illness. Dr. Pouliel told me Indian doctors were not impressed by the need for either HIB or hepatitis B jabs and seldom recommended them to patients. Physician resistance stymied Indian health officials from meeting WHO's uptake metrics for the newly recommended shots. To overcome this problem, pharma introduced a diabolically cunning strategy to euthanize three birds with one stone. The companies withdrew their flagging HIB and hepatitis B vaccines and reissued a new concoction that combined those immunizations with the DTP, which, despite its popularity, had become another sandbag on Big Pharma's profit ambitions. By 2008, Pfizer's DTP patent was long expired, and there were 63 manufacturers making the vaccine in 42 countries with large surpluses and very low margins. The Gates cabal solved these profiteering problems by brewing up a new five diseases vaccine by mixing the DTP, HIB, and hepatitis B formulas in a single syringe. That new combination became a new vaccine. The Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations, Gavi, and WHO christened the novel, untested, and unlicensed concoction the pentavalent vaccine and recommended its use in developing countries to replace the DTP vaccine. Compliant Indian health ministries then phased out the DTP, which had been popular with doctors. Now, if any physician or individual wanted DTP, their only choice would be the pentavalent vaccine. On its website, Gavi admitted that its underlying reason for this caper was to increase the uptake of the hepatitis B and HIB vaccines in these countries by piggybacking on the well-accepted DTP vaccine. It was an ingenious money-making connivance. Competition had driven down the cost of the DTP to 15.50 rupees, about 14 cents U.S. The hepatitis B vaccine retailed for 45 rupees and the Hib for 25. Therefore, the combined cost of all three vaccines, if purchased separately, was 185 rupees. However, the new pentavalent vaccine, made by Gates's friend Cyrus Poonawalla, owner of the Serum Institute of India, costs 550 rupees, a 1,440% increase in profits for every vaccine sold. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has not licensed the combination vaccine for either safety or efficacy, and developed countries do not use it. A Cochrane meta-analysis showed that the combination is less effective than the vaccine.